WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks. Iran's state media is broadcasting prayers across the country today as it awaits news on the fate of its president. CBS's Lana Zak has the latest.
Iranian state media says a helicopter carrying President Ebrahim Raisi suffered a hard landing today. The country's interior minister says rescue teams are on their way to the area, but bad weather and fog are making it difficult. No word yet on Raisi's condition or what caused the incident.
Here at home, the war in the Middle East was top of mind at graduation. CBS's Nicole Killian's in Atlanta.
Here at Morehouse, some of the students and faculty are holding a silent protest wearing Palestinian scarves or the color of the flag. President Biden will keep making his case to black voters, heading from here to Detroit to speak at an NAACP dinner later today.
The president said to give another commencement speech at West Point next weekend. Meantime, new CBS News polling suggests President Biden is falling behind in key states ahead of the 2024 election. Here's CBS's Jennifer DePinto.
Majorities of voters in both states favor abortion being legal, but that doesn't all accrue to Joe Biden. Most of this group would back him. But in each of these states, more than a third of those who support abortion being legal say they would vote for Donald Trump.
Both states, meaning Arizona and Florida, Ohio Republican Senator J.D. Vance was on Face the Nation, and he says Trump has the right idea, especially on abortion.
I think Trump's approach here is trying to settle a very tough issue and actually empower the American people to decide it for themselves.
Vance is said to be on Trump's shortlist for VP. Progress now on clearing key bridge debris in Baltimore. Maryland Governor Wes Moore was on NBC.
Despite the fact that people said this could take 6 and 9 months, I'm proud that we're on track, that by the end of May we'll have that federal channel reopened. And within days, we're going to have that massive vessel, the Dolly, out of that federal channel.
The cargo ship's been sitting there since causing the collapse 7 weeks ago. The man accused of punching Steve Buscemi says had his day in court this weekend in New York. He's being held on $50,000 bond following his arrest on Friday. The actor had to be treated at a hospital for an eye injury, but his publicist says he's doing okay otherwise.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
Ryan Reynolds' new movie, If, claimed the top spot at the weekend box office with $35 million in ticket sales. Little lower than expected, considering its all-star cast, but it beat Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which came in second. The Strangers came in third. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Bob Menendez on trial there in New York. We're also going to talk about Hunter Biden, who is in trial, going to be in trial, subject to prosecution in two federal courts on both ends of our nation, on the East Coast, the West Coast. We'll talk about that. And yes, indeed, we necessarily will talk this weekend on Amicus Law Review about what's going on in that Trump trial in Manhattan, continuing in the coming week, the possibility that the jury in that particular case, Donald Trump facing 34 different counts of violations of state law involving invoices and checks and registry items, allegations that are pending against him, the subject of several weeks of trial now likely concluding this coming week, certainly concluding with the prosecution case. We'll talk about the prospects of whether or not the defense will put on a case, and if so, what that may look like. If not, what the jury may have before it as soon as this coming week, facing the possibility that sometime in the next week to 10 days, the jury could be deliberating on this case that is making history in the annals of our nation, the first time in our nation's history that any former president has been prosecuted, brought into court for alleged crimes, state crimes, but crimes against the people of the state of New York in violation of those laws. We're going to talk about all of that, the Trump trial, the Biden trial, the Menendez trial, all of those things as we address here on our weekend broadcast, all of those issues about the rule of law in the United States of America.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amicus, a law review. My name is Jim Santel. I am your host for this hour of our weekend broadcast and also the next hour, an awful lot on our docket this weekend to talk about in the areas of law and government and the aspiration of justice, and focusing with special attention on the United States Supreme Court. Yes, we are now in that 6-week period near the end of its active portion of the term, in which it is going to be issuing cases among the 62 that is taken under its wing, taken under advisement in the wake of many oral arguments of the past term. We know that the Supreme Court has already issued 21 opinions in its docket up to this point. And included in that is a major decision of just this past week involving the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Another matter not on that 62-numbered docket, but also involving the Voting Rights Act. We'll talk about those two cases as we think and look forward to the coming cases also to be decided in the days and weeks ahead. We have talked about some of the guns cases that the Supreme Court has in front of us. We are mindful as we gather together this weekend on Amicus, a law review, that we are coming just in the wake of the 2-year anniversary of the horrific shooting in Buffalo, New York. The white supremacist who perpetrated that horrific shooting drove about 200 miles to target, yes, that's right, a predominantly black neighborhood in Buffalo, New York, went into a grocery store with an assault weapon, and yes, killed 10 black people, injured 3 others while they were shopping for groceries. The state has prosecuted that defendant and imposed upon him multiple life imprisonment terms. The federal government is also prosecuting. And yes, as you may recall, as we reported on this broadcast, the attorney general, in a rare move, has authorized prosecutors to seek the death penalty, to seek the federal death penalty in that prosecution, which is still going ahead in a federal court. We are mindful of Buffalo as we gather together on this broadcast this weekend, May 14th of 2022, that horrific event in the lives not only of those taken and injured, all the people in Buffalo, but all of us in the United States of America. 646 mass shootings in 2022, 656 in 2023, and only 5 months into 2024, we already have 157 of those mass shootings in America. And so in the midst of that, the Supreme Court addressing guns cases. We do not have decisions in these cases yet, but they will be coming in the next several weeks. Could be next week, could be 5 or 6 weeks from now. We don't know exactly what the timing of them is going to be, but we know at least about what those cases are about. One of them is Cargill. Garland versus Cargill was argued way back in February. A ban on bump stocks was implemented during the Trump administration at the center of this very important dispute pending before the Supreme Court. A Texas man forced to surrender his devices to comply the restriction on bump stocks The case does involve the Second Amendment, but only collaterally, because the real attack is on whether or not the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms can properly outlaw bump stocks. Bump stocks are attachments, of course, to semi-automatic rifles that speed up their rate of fire. You all recall well that following the 2017 mass shooting at that music festival in Las Vegas, the shooter using semi-automatic weapons outfitted with bump stocks. Maybe the first time that many of us have heard about this thing. ATF, in the wake of that, the horrific violence on that day, issued a ruling finding that a rifle equipped with the device qualifies as a machine gun. Under federal law, machine guns are prohibited, and machine guns have been banned since 1986 under federal law. The justices heard argument in this case on February and grappling whether, once again, whether the ATF has the legal authority to impose that kind of rule to prohibit the use of bump stocks in the wake not only of the violence in Texas, but the violence, regrettably, throughout our nation. That's one of the gun cases pending in front of the Supreme Court. We know as well that the Supreme Court is also addressing at least one other case, similarly addressing the role of guns in America. This case involving an individual in Texas against whom there is a domestic violence restraining order. The federal law, once again, prohibiting anyone who is subject to a domestic restraining order from possessing, using in any way, possessing a weapon. And Mr. Rahimi, R-A-H-I-M-A, his name is the one that gives the name of the case, United States versus Rahimi, a very violent person by any measure, the subject of much of the oral argument way back in November of this past year, including a notorious exchange between the Chief Justice and counsel for Mr. Rahimi, in which the Chief Justice basically admonished the counsel for suggesting that his client is not violent. Very little doubt that Mr. Rahimi is a violent person. The question there is whether or not the Second Amendment as interpreted by the Supreme Court recently in this case called Bruin, that contemplates that before you can impose restrictions on the use, the sale, the manufacture, the transfer of weapons, you have to look back in history to figure out whether there's some antecedent, some predicate for imposing that restriction. Does Bruin prohibit the federal government from going ahead and prosecuting somebody like Mr. Rahimi, having a domestic violence restraining order against them, violating federal law by possessing then a weapon? And it appears from the oral argument back in February that they're inclined to leave in place that law that strips alleged domestic abusers of their firearms, including people like Mr. Rahimi. Several suggested that those deemed dangerous to society could in fact be disarmed, consistent with the Second Amendment, consistent with Bruin and other cases decided by the Supreme Court in history. Those two cases, among others, still on the docket of the Supreme Court, waiting decision in the coming weeks. Just do one or two more of those. A case called Moore versus United States, argued way back in December. The case involves a challenge to a fairly obscure provision of the sweeping tax reform package. Remember this one signed into law by Donald Trump in 2017? The mandatory repatriation tax is a one-time tax. It targeted U.S. taxpayers who hold shares of certain foreign corporations and requires them to pay a levy on their proportionate share of the company's earnings. That's what the attack is all about in this case called Moore. The tax was projected to generate roughly $340 billion in revenue over 10 years. A couple from Washington State challenging that tax as impermissible under the 16th Amendment. Supreme Court likely to leave that particular provision in place based upon the argument way back in December. Moore versus United States, a provision of Donald Trump's tax reform package, also a part of the cases before the Supreme Court coming up. Another case involving City of Grants Pass versus Johnson, argued in April, questioning whether the constitutionality of anti-camping laws, those argued back in April, determining the status of homeless people in our nation's dispute is the most significant involving homeless people to come before the Supreme Court in decades. The outcome could impact how cities and states respond to high rates of homelessness as encampments pop up on public property. All of those cases and more, 40 or so to be decided, guns cases, tax cases, case involving homelessness, all of that coming up for the Supreme Court in the weeks ahead. When we come back, we're going to talk more about decisions of the Supreme Court just this past week. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Brief. Rescue crews have reached the helicopter that went down earlier today carrying Iran's president, but still no update on his condition. Reporter Sebastian Ushers with the BBC.
Iranian media says that rescue teams are on their way to the site after reports that a helicopter in the convoy of three carrying President Raisi had had a rough landing over East Azerbaijan.
A new CBS News poll shows former President Trump leads President Biden in states like Florida and Arizona. But Michigan Senator Gary Peters is confident Biden can still win those key states.
Primarily because of candidate quality. We have outstanding Democratic candidates, outstanding Democratic incumbents who have served their state against deeply flawed Republican candidates. So I'm confident we're going to be able to win.
Peters on Face the Nation. And good news from gas buddies Patrick DeHaan.
Gas prices have been moderating and will likely continue gently falling here into the Memorial Day weekend.
The national average now $3.59 a gallon. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A showdown in Houston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Astros series wrapping up. We'll have a recap of today's game later tonight. Last night, the Brewers with a 4-2 win over the Astros in Houston. Fifth inning, and the Brewers' William Contreras, one of the top batters in the National League, drained 41-year-old Justin Verlander out of 13 pitches and a full count before crushing a three-run homer to take the lead. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think the hitters that I've seen get in those situations, they get into a mode where they're just like, okay, see it good. You know, I tell pitchers in that situation, throw a ball. They're in swing mode, throw a ball. But obviously, that's a good theory if they don't do it. I think he was just in a tremendously locked in pitch to pitch.
Racing wrapping up at Road America. Vintage cars like Mustangs, Camaros, Thunderbirds, and more at the track in Plymouth, Wisconsin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will increase for your Sunday with afternoon highs in the middle 70s. For tonight, we'll see showers and thunderstorms likely. Our low temperatures will drop to the upper 50s. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Showers and storms continue Monday. It's 69 at our studios.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little bit of calm along with some gentle stretches and goats. It's relaxing all levels yoga, including playful goats, and happening Fridays through Sundays until November at Hidden Timber Soul Sanctuary on County Road N in Fall Creek. Find more at HiddenTimberSoulSanctuary.com. Or why not spend the night finding your artsy side at the Simply Creative Studio and Boutique. This one, all about painting and around a ballpark theme. Classes include everything you need, and it's happening Friday night, May 24th at Dixon's Autumn Harvest Winery. It's on County Highway J in Chippewa Falls. And the Chippewa River Trolley is back for the season. Hop on board for family fun on Saturdays, winery tours Sundays through September, leaving from the local store in Eau Claire. And you can find more at ChippewaRiverTrolley.org. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we kick off the week leading up to Memorial Day weekend with a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please, can we make it stop? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And next hour here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Thank you for joining me and my producer, Max. Together, we are taking your phone calls, your texts at 844-967-2789. You can also drop a note into the feed on the Civic Media app and be a part of our discussion as we talk about major issues initially on our weekend broadcast, all about the United States Supreme Court. Two major things happening. One of them on the official docket of the Supreme Court among those 62 cases, the other one of them not, but nonetheless a matter for decision by the Supreme Court just this past week. It comes out of the state of Louisiana. The dispute is a part of a broader fight, plainly over voting rights. This come before the Supreme Court in this matter and plainly in other matters. We recall very well the case last year coming out of Alabama, in which the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, determined that indeed legislators there had diluted the franchise, the rights of black voters in Alabama, by creating only one majority black opportunity districts, when in fact there should be probably two out of the seven districts there. Lots of history there. Ultimately, the Supreme Court having to tell the legislature to do its job. And when the legislature does not do its job, the appeals court, the three-judge panel, does the job for that legislature and imposes the new set of rules, the new lines, the new map there in the state of Alabama. That by a 5-4 decision of just last term. Now we've got another case here in Louisiana alleging many of the same kinds of things. The challenge in Louisiana began way back again after the 2020 census. That census showed an increase in the number of black voters in the state. The state's Republican-controlled legislature then drew a new map that included only one majority black congressional district out of the six seats, based upon the percentages of blacks in that state, in Louisiana. One would anticipate that, once again, there should be at least two majority black opportunity districts, all of that igniting then a court battle. In 2022, a federal judge bars the state from using that map, finding that it probably did indeed violate the Voting Rights Act of 1965. A federal appeals court upheld that ruling just last year after the United States Supreme Court, in what was generally regarded as sort of a surprise decision, found that Alabama, once again, in this other case I've just made reference to, had diluted the power of black voters in drawing its map. So in January of this year, Louisiana lawmakers began drafting a new map for the upcoming election and approved a version that added this second district with majority black voters. Under the new map, and this is significant, the second district in that state links communities in Baton Rouge, the state's capital, in the southeastern part of the state, with Shreveport in the state's northwest. And that prompts challenges. That prompts allegations. Some describe that new district as a jagged, narrow, 250-mile scar linking black majority precincts in Baton Rouge and Shreveport. And as the challengers said, weaving with surgical efficiency to encircle pockets of black voters and exclude whites in other races. So we get a challenge to that new map, to that new map. All of this ultimately comes before the Supreme Court, and indeed just this past Wednesday. In the wake of that, we report now that the Supreme Court on Wednesday temporarily reinstated that congressional map in Louisiana that includes a second majority black district, affirming that new map, increasing there, as they did last term in Alabama, the likelihood that Democrats could indeed gain a House seat from the state in November. But nonetheless, putting politics to one side, affirming once again the import and the meaning of the Voting Rights Act in the early part of the 21st century. The order was unsigned, and the Supreme Court's custom is to do that in rulings on what are called emergency applications. And this was one of those. This is the reason why this particular matter, this Louisiana case, not among that 62 group of cases to which I've referred, it came in response once again to a challenge to a lower court decision that had blocked that map drawn by Louisiana's legislature, deeming it a racial gerrymandering. Following all this, it's a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of a legislature saying, yes, indeed, we will follow. We will follow what the courts have told us to do in the wake of the Alabama case, in the wake of what the federal laws have required by the federal courts. We get a lower court that then blocks the map, and the Supreme Court now comes back and says, no, the lower court, the blocking of the lower court map, that action is inappropriate, and reinstated that map. Now, interestingly, a majority of the justices appeared swayed by the concerns about courts making changes to election procedures close to an election. But three justices on the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, actually dissented on all this. And you might think, gee, how does that happen? You would think that they would probably be very much in support of this kind of thing. And it's not so much about the content of the decision, rather it's about the timing. And while the other two, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, did not specifically explain their reasons why they were objecting to the court doing what it was doing, the opinion by Ketanji Brown Jackson, this dissenting opinion, she says to believe that the court had intervened too soon. And she says in particular that we've often denied stays of redistricting orders issued as close or closer to an election. She says that the intense focus on the voting map was proper, since, as she said, the question of how to elect representatives consistent with our shared commitment to racial equality is among the most consequential we face as a democracy, affirming her belief, and that of plainly of the two others also dissenting, that this is an important concept and that she is not objecting to the notion of expanding the number of majority black districts there, but she's concerned about the timing of this. She said that the question before the judges was far more quotidian, a word we don't often use. It basically means that it occurs every day. This happens all the time, she says. She wrote that the question was merely to decide when Louisiana needed a map in place for the coming election, and she pointed out that a lower federal court had determined that deadline to be early June, the case, again, having a long and tortured history. She says there's time to do that, and that's the reason why she and two others object, dissent to this. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court decision coming out on Wednesday puts back in place, at least for the 2024 election, this new map designed by the legislature there in Louisiana that does indeed craft and develop two majority black opportunity districts. And that is a good thing, as even the dissenters indicate. The objection, once again, based not upon substance, but based upon the timing of this and feeling that the lower courts, others back down below the Supreme Court, could address this issue in sufficient time before the November election. Nonetheless, in the wake of what happened last year in Alabama, in the wake of what has happened previously in other cases, a significant move in support of the Voting Rights Act happening just this past week in the annals of American jurisprudence. We know as well that there is another case pending on the docket of the Supreme Court. Yes, it is among the 62. This one coming out of South Carolina, yet another case involving the Voting Rights Act. And the question is whether or not the decision about drawing lines in that state, in South Carolina, is the product of politics or racism. And we'll talk more about that when that issue comes for decision before the Supreme Court. Again, coming up sometime in the several weeks just ahead. Just this past week, Louisiana told that its new map stays in place, at least for this coming election, probably the subject of more litigation in the future. And that's why many of the headlines on this case describe the Supreme Court allowing Louisiana going to go ahead with this for now. For now, obviously going to be revisited down the road. Supreme Court also doing another major thing, this coming off that 62-case docket, that having to do with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a major case. We have talked before on this broadcast about this so-called attack. It is in politics, in the present campaign for the presidency, a so-called attack on what's called the administrative state. There is no such thing. An attack upon good civil servants who are inside our civil agencies, our federal agencies acting on your behalf and on mine, acting on behalf of the people of our nation, an attack on these civil agencies and the work of experts, the people who know what they're doing in many, many ways going on in the political arena. It has also come into the docket of the United States Supreme Court. And we know that because there are at least three cases, arguably even four, right now pending before the Supreme Court, in which this issue about agencies and the roles that they play and the decision-making authority vested in them by the Congress is being challenged. One of those, again, is a challenge to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We know that just this past week, the Supreme Court rejected a challenge just Thursday to the way that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, is funded. And that challenge, had it been successful, would have hobbled this bureau and advanced a central goal of this odd and inappropriate legal movement that is intended to limit the power of agencies and attack the good work that they do on a regular basis. The vote in this case involving the CFPB was 7-2. Justice Clarence Thomas writing for the majority in this case, the two dissenters, Sam Alito and Neil Gorsuch, we'll get to them in just a moment. Again, had the Bureau lost in this case, the court's ruling as to the CFPB and its legitimacy could have cast doubt on virtually every regulation out there and enforcement action that the agency has taken in the approximately 13 years. It's been in place for 13 years, including ones involving mortgages and credit cards and financial statements, consumer loans, banking, all kinds of things that the CFPB is responsible for now by virtue of its creative and creating legislation by the United States Congress. The central question in this case was whether the Congress had chosen to fund the Bureau had violated the so-called Appropriations Clause of the Constitution. Now, you all know what that is. It basically says that no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. That's the language in Article 1 of our Constitution. Justice Thomas, writing for the majority, again, 7-2, says it's just fine. It is, in fact, constitutional. He says this, under the Appropriations Clause, an appropriation is simply a law that authorizes expenditures from a specific source of public money for designated purposes. Straightforward, nothing much to decide here, he writes. The statute, he goes on to say, that provides the Bureau's funding meets these requirements. We therefore conclude that the Bureau's funding mechanism does not violate the Appropriations Clause. Very clearly stated. And although that is the position of the majority of the Supreme Court, turns out that we also have some concurring opinions. Justice Elena Kagan, joined by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett added that in addition to history, there's also a more recent history that also supports the agencies. There, Justice Kagan, writing for this concurring group, says that the way our government has actually worked in recent time over our entire experience thus provides another reason to uphold Congress's decision about how to fund the CFPB. That's basically Justice Kagan saying, yes, we can look back in history, as Justice Thomas often does, but there's more to it. You don't have to rely just on the history. Our contemporary experience also supports it. In her own concurrence, Ketanji Brown Jackson writes, the court should not undercut the considered judgments of a coordinate branch. She is talking about the Congress, about how to respond to a pressing national concern. All of that supporting this decision. And of course, we also know that had this decision gone in the opposite direction, not only affecting the CFPB, but many other institutions, including the Federal Reserve, from which the CFPB gets its money, could have been compromised, could have been hobbled themselves, had consequences far beyond just this particular decision, could have basically brought to their knees the operation of many other agencies. The court plainly understanding that and appreciating that, the consequences far beyond just this CFPB case. Nonetheless, in his opinion, and yes, the concurring opinions of other justices on both sides of the political aisle supporting the CFPB and saying that indeed, it is constitutional, nothing in violation of the Appropriations Clause, according to our United States Supreme Court just this past week. We'll talk more about this and we'll get a view from
93.5 The Tap.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amicus Law Review. My name is Jim Santel. I am your host for this final segment in our first hour here on our weekend review, our analysis of major events in the life of our nation in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice, talking about this major case beginning this period of time when the Supreme Court is going to be issuing other cases in many other areas, this time affirming the legitimacy of one of our major agencies in place for 13 years. The CFPB remains in place in the wake of the decision by the Supreme Court just this past Thursday, 7-2, Clarence Thomas saying it is okay, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with the way that the Congress put together the CFPB. We do get some strong dissents. And the reason why they are important is because we've got two other cases coming up in which we may not get the same kind of result. In this particular case, Sam Alito and Neil Gorsuch are dissenting, finding indeed that the CFPB not properly constituted. Both of them commenting about the inappropriateness of a decision like this, to find that without the appropriations support, an agency nonetheless does have that kind of legitimacy. In his dissent, Justice Alito wrote that the framers would be shocked, he said, even horrified by this scheme. In sum, he added, the CFPB's unprecedented combination of funding features, affords it the very kind of financial independence that the Appropriations Clause was designed to prevent. It is not an exaggeration, he goes on to say, that the CFPB enjoys a degree of financial autonomy that a Stuart King would envy. A Stuart King, he says, that coming out of Sam Alito, about whom we'll talk more in our second hour here on our weekend broadcast. And, of course, in addition to Sam Alito, Neil Gorsuch joining in that dissent. They are in the minority, which means they lose on this issue. The majority says the CFPB certainly properly put together by the United States Congress. Two other challenges, nonetheless, out there that may, in fact, reflect those dissenting views of Gorsuch and of Alito. One of those having to do with legitimacy of the Securities and Exchange Commission, a case called Jarchese, in which the petitioner is alleging, maintaining that the SEC in place for 100 years, a century or so, has been operating inappropriately without proper constitutional mooring, based not only upon its initial commission by the Congress, but also because the SEC has not been affording individuals a jury trial under the Seventh Amendment. An absurd proposition, but nonetheless, if embraced by the Supreme Court, would change dramatically, not just the SEC, but also many, many other agencies out there that likewise make decisions based upon experience and expertise and wisdom and judgment and the kinds of things we call upon agencies to decide all the time. That case coming up for decision as well, it is among this group attacking our federal agencies and suggesting that we should all be suspicious of the things that they do. In all of these cases, of course, you can appeal the decisions of administrative actions. You can go into federal courts. But the administrative regime, if you will, has been good. It has been supportive. Perfect? Absolutely not. Mistakes along the way. But on a regular basis, if you're dissatisfied with the decisions of an agency, a federal entity, you can appeal those cases to the federal court, and you may get a court trial. You may get a jury trial, but not at the administrative stage when we need to make decisions, move cases along based upon the expertise. That Charkhazy case, the SEC attack, coming up for decision sometime in the next month and a half. And then there's the big one called Loper Bright Enterprises. This is the one in which the Supreme Court has before it a challenge to this doctrine called Chevron, this notion that federal courts should, and have for the past 40 years defer to that very expertise I'm talking about. Make decisions premised upon the notion that agencies, fundamentally, imperfect though they may be, know what they're doing, that the experts are there, they're learned, they're experienced, they're doing their jobs fairly well, if not expertly on a regular basis, and their decisions should not be interrupted, not be suspended, absent some reason to believe that those decisions, those determinations, those rules, if you will, are completely unreasonable. That's the Chevron doctrine that comes out of another Supreme Court case about 40 years or so ago. It has guided federal courts ever since then, and has basically said that if, again, the agency has identified a position that is reasonable, it should not be overturned because, again, the expertise is there, and it is not, for the most part, inside the federal courts. That case, Loper Bright Enterprises, challenges that inside a fisheries agency, and yes, it's hugely important for the fisheries agency and fisheries commerce itself. But it carries this larger issue about whether or not the basic concept of Chevron deference, federal courts saying, I don't know everything. I need to rely necessarily upon experts, whether that will continue to be a part of our jurisprudence, a part of our tradition in our United States of America. And of course, that leads to the other case that's also out there. That's the Mifepristone case. The Supreme Court also deciding whether or not the decision by this lower court judge in Texas finding that the FDA's determination, its expertise, should not be embraced and understood, and that mifepristone should be taken off the market. Mifepristone, one of the two drugs that is properly used with health and with safety, according to the FDA. Quarter century of decision-making, of reviewing, of analyzing its efficacy and its health-based support, finding that it is indeed, for the most part, healthy to administer the use and approve the administration of this drug for purposes of abortion. A federal district court judge saying, I don't agree, and substituting his own view for that of the experts inside the FDA, finding that indeed somehow the FDA has gotten it all wrong after a quarter century of decision-making and review analysis based upon the day-in and day-out administration of that drug. The Supreme Court has before it this case involving mifepristone. Again, an attack upon a federal agency. We will see what they do. The hope, of course, would be that in all of these cases, they follow the precedent set just this past week in this CFPB case. Say, yes, indeed, the agencies are proper. They're doing their jobs well, not perfectly. And that's when in those circumstances, when petitioners can appeal to a higher court, they can go to the federal courts, they can go to the appeals court, maybe into the Supreme Court. But the agencies themselves have expertise inside them. And in the CFPB case, the Supreme Court just this past week has said yes. Nothing to indicate that we should upset that constitutional basis for the CFPB. The other cases, slight variations on those arguments, but all of them in the category of this attack on our federal agencies in our political system, plainly, as you have seen, but also inside the Supreme Court. The next 6 weeks going to be animated by these, at least these three cases, determining the future of our administrative agencies. We will plainly talk about all of those as our broadcasts continue into the coming weeks and continue in this weekend broadcast here on Amicus, a law review.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Toomey and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who gives us an overview of summer weather and tells us how to deal with ticks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. A massive rescue operation is underway now in Iran following a helicopter crash involving the country's president. CBS's Ian Lee reports foggy conditions have made it tough today for rescue crews to reach that crash site.
It is dark in Iran. That's going to make their efforts even more difficult. But the helicopter went down in a mountainous region. There are reports that Iran's foreign minister was also traveling with the president.
Still no word yet on either of their conditions. An Israeli airstrike killed 27 people today in central Gaza as fighting rages on between Israel and Hamas. The BBC's Dan Johnson tells us it comes as White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan gets set to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
The U.S. has threatened Israel that if it conducts an all-out assault on Rafah, it would cease certain weapons shipments to Israel. So I think Jake Sullivan will be seeking assurances on that. He is also trying to ensure that more aid can get through, and he's bringing this question of what will happen in Gaza when the fighting finally ends.
At least one of Netanyahu's war cabinet members has threatened to leave if there's no plan in place. The war in the Middle East was a big topic at graduation today at Morehouse College in Atlanta.
Before the president spoke, Morehouse valedictorian D'Angelo Fletcher addressed the war in the Middle East.
It is my stance as a Morehouse man, nay, as a human being, to call for an immediate and a permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip.
Seated behind him, President Biden applauded, and when it was his turn, echoed his sentiment.
Stop the fighting. Bring the hostages home.
CBS's Stacey Lynn reports there weren't any big disruptions today, but some students did turn their backs to Biden. Closing arguments could start as early as Tuesday in Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York. Former fixer Michael Cohen will be back on the stand tomorrow. There was no court on Friday, so Trump could attend his son Barron's high school graduation. Sean Diddy Combs is apologizing now on Instagram for attacking his ex Cassie at a hotel in Los Angeles in 2016.
I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted.
Surveillance footage of that attack leaked on Friday, and prosecutors in L.A. called it extremely disturbing. But they say Diddy won't face charges because the statute of limitations has run out.
2-1-0.
And a big day for Blue Origin. America's first black astronaut candidate finally making it to space 60 years later, flying the company's rocket along with five other passengers. 90-year-old Ed Dwight's now the oldest person in space.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now, from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills, and on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Watch out!
They got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl. The Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?